Matthew Stewart is more than okay. He's the racing editor around these parts at RSM. We love having his company with his very sophisticated turtleneck sweater on this morning. Good morning, Matthew.
On request.
On request. From whom?
On popular demand.
From whom?
Apprentice.
Oh, the apprentice. He's got to settle down, that kid.
Wouldn't footy classify it? Wasn't that just a classic case of why wouldn't you just check that?
It would have been a fairly easy one to check, I would have thought. Yeah, if that was the case.
What's going wrong with the world?
You know what
it's
like?
What's going wrong with the world? A $20 million Everest is what's going
wrong
with the
world. What do you mean, 20 million? It's only 15.
To 20.
Oh, it's jumping.
Up by 5 to 20, according to Chris Roots in the Sydney Morning Herald
is
today.
Is that right?
On top of $7 million of extra prize money announced the day before, which follows the wiping out of the executive level of the ATC, saving Mega Millions, and in the same week as Racing Victoria announced that there would be likely prize money cuts in Victoria. So New South Wales hovering around like a vulture over, you know, reacting to our situation with a kind of a nonsensical increase to the value of the Everest that serves no real purpose.
I'm sure it'll be coincidental.
Do you, is it coincidental or is it an opportunity taken by Peter and his gang up there in New South Wales?
I think the owl was being...
I think you might be right. I'm just trying to flesh it out a bit.
Yes.
Because did I not hear Brian Kruger saying last week on this very radio station that the prize money war sort of, it's over. It's done.
Yeah, but it takes two sides to end a war.
Yes, that's
so
true.
I was sitting, actually, when I saw this on social media last night, I despaired for Australian racing that this is what it's come to, this total and utter lack of cohesion between the two principal states for a sport that needs everyone rowing in the one direction because it's a polarizing sport. It's got its battles with engagement and relevance and all these sort of things. And it's almost through the hand of one state in particular, it's the short-term game of all of these things. So the little chest-beating win as opposed to the what's good for the game and where will racing be in 10 years if this sort of stuff continues. I just think as far as the greater good goes, I just think this is so damaging and it's just self-serving and damaging and it's just very, very dispiriting as a racing person to see this garbage going on. No benefit to anyone whatsoever.
Well, there's benefits to owners who win it. That's about it.
Well, that's so one individual or a group of individuals. And it's, to be honest, the Everest prize money is a bit of a wonky reflection. It's not actually 20 million. It's the way it's subdivided through the slot holders and the percentages and so on. So, and prize money increases to the big dance, which was announced after Victoria announced it was reining things in. Another one that is the... It's just a headline. It's of no real benefit to the New South Wales racing industry.
Where are they getting the money from, Matthew? We seemingly in racing in Victoria and have hit a bit of a wall. The last couple of years have been a challenge on the back of the COVID boom for racing. It's slowed down significantly since that. So we've hit a bit of a wall. How have they managed to be able to make this happen when we're going the other way?
They've just got a better POC arrangement, haven't they, Al? That's pretty much what it comes down to.
Yeah, I wrote about this yesterday. There wasn't a whole lot of detail from what I saw, but the terminology they were going with was from sustainable revenues.
But sustainable for how long?
Yeah.
We don't know what that is.
No, that's
what, right.
So they as football clubs call them, non-traditional revenues, like owning venues and registered training organisations, that sort of stuff. They get money through different avenues, like Richmond's got the Allied Leisure gyms and whatever they've got, and Hawthorn have had the whatever they've had through the journey. All these clubs have got different, as they call them, non-traditional revenues.
Well,
is that what they've got?
Well,
and why don't we have them?
Well, there was some claim, and they don't publicise their actual wagering revenues. So there was a initial statement a few years ago that a lot of these big prize money increases, such as the Golden Eagle and some big harness ones and dogs and all that, would come from this new bet type with the TAB, which has generated virtually zero. So was it odds and evens?
Odds and evens.
Odds and evens. Was that supposed to fund something? Surely no one plays that.
It was supposed to fund a lot of these programs.
Surely no one plays odds and evens.
No. So we're going to have a chat to Chris Roots, who wrote the story for the Sydney Morning Herald in about an hour and 10 minutes on Michael Felgate's show, and just try and work out There's a very parochial view amongst the Sydney media about that, rah, 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 all this is good, but I just wish all of them would just stop and take a breath and have a think about the bigger picture.
Is that because we're losing?
But what do we have that, why that, are that we view? In a war,
I'm just
David?
Trying to. Yeah. Well, because I'm just trying to paint a picture.
Yeah,
and play,
no, that's definitely what. Devil's advocate it's because they have decided that the relationship with Victoria has gone from comfortable, which it has been for a long, long forever, to combative. Mm. And this is the way it's. The mood has changed in the last 4 or 5 years to the point where it's not just the administration that are in combat. It just seems the even journo to journo, yep, there's argy-bargy that, but what the hell is this all about?
And that was never there 5 years ago.
It was never there.
They'd come down for our carnival and you'd catch up in the press room, yeah, and everything. And likewise,
yeah,
like we all love Sydney racing.
Yeah.
We love the Slipper and all these great, yeah, races up there.
I've grew up envious of Sydney racing because it was the grass is greener attitude. Like, well, God, I can't wait to catch a train up and go to Randwick, mm, or Rose Hill. And there's never been any angst from the Victorian side, whether it's through the fans, through the media, through the administration. There's never been actual angst towards New South Wales. They can say what they like. There has never been...
Did you just say New South Wales?
I think South Wales.
He's just channeling Kenny Callender.
Yeah. See?
One of the great New South Wales men.
Channeling one of the greats from New South Wales casually. So there's never been a sense of aggression. There really hasn't been. Through any decision-making, whether there's an Australian Guineas that popped up and they said, oh, it's clashed with their eyes. There's never been a sense that we can't work together. But New South Wales seems determined to crush the Victorian racing. You know, they've sensed weakness with the prize money, awkward prize money situation that we face, and then they just go for the jugular. I just don't see how it can be perceived, even within New South Wales, as being a healthy mindset and a healthy mentality. I know there's powerful figures up there who just throw their arms up in the air and say, what can we do? I mean, because Racing Australia is so powerless. It's almost like everything around them has been dismantled to the point where nothing functions properly. So, but the aggression has always come from north of the border, and it's caught everyone in Victoria on the hop, and all the other PRAs who are engaged in this dispute through the courts with Racing New South Wales at the moment. So, I find it numbing. I don't understand it, and I know that it's terrible for Australian racing.
I did find the approach interesting, as a broad, sort of an outsider looking in a bit, because in industries where, particularly corporations, corporate Australia, where you can consume your competitor and just take over and own the bigger share of the market, racing's not like that because of the jurisdictions and different plays. Like Racing New South Wales,
industry.
Yeah, is not going to own Racing Victoria or make it themselves bigger and trying to consume all these other other different satellite cities or cities and their racing jurisdictions. I don't see how the growth of or the dominance of one jurisdiction leads to anything more than more interest in their product, not necessarily inflating their revenue or their turnover, or their money.
The way it's evolved historically is that Melbourne has become a bit bigger. You know, the Spring Carnivals are bigger than the Sydney Spring. Their autumn's bigger than ours. But the strength and popularity of the Melbourne Spring Carnival benefits everyone. It benefits Sydney. It benefits Australian racing. This idea of that they seem to think that we want to get big and we want to make Victoria smaller. Does that improve Australian racing? Of course it doesn't. So the self-interest of New South Wales, ultimately it's not even going to help them. So I just find it depressing.
I'm looking forward to hearing this conversation with you and Blue Eyes on Racing Pulse a bit later on this morning, Matthew. We appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, Daniel.
It's a sexy skivvy. Mark Robinson is going to join us after this.